the die had been cast. For those who had witnessed the actions of the Down Presbytery in overruling the elders of the local assembly and in withdrawing church buildings from the use of that assembly, and all on the super flimsy grounds of the pulpit is vacant in Lasara, so we can't have a mission with a visiting evangelist in our church hall at this moment in time. And also they witnessed them disregarding the Presbyterian code that should have governed their actions. What started out as dissatisfaction hardened into dissension and became a definite breach. As far as they were concerned, Down Presbytery and the Irish Presbyterian Church had engaged in huge overreach. And such was the damage that, as one dissenter assessed it, no matter should they have installed St. Paul himself as the new minister in their vacant pulpit, many people could never be back. This was the position taken by five of Lasara's seven members of session, including its clerk of session and Sunday school superintendent, all 10 of its Sunday school teachers, and some 60 members of its congregation. Therefore, as the four-week gospel campaign progressed and God's evident hand of blessing was upon that mission, the minds of Lasara's dissenters turned to consider the establishment of a Presbyterian place of worship free from unwarranted interference by the presbytery. A series of meetings were held, mostly in the Killyleagh Street Mission Hall. The upshot of those meetings was the taking of a decision that a new Presbyterian church would be formed in the village. It would be strictly evangelical, and while subscribing to the Presbyterian model of church government, it would take the position that local church property would remain under the ownership and control of that church. The local assembly would therefore never again be dispossessed. And also, due to the fact that almost all of those who had influence in the mission hall were also among the dissenters, it was proposed and adopted that the mission hall should be the meeting house of the new church. A little tangible testimony to the fact that the new congregation would be Presbyterian in doctrine and in government came in the form of an order being placed with Mr. John Edgar for the purchase of a stained glass window depicting the burning bush, that highly recognisable symbol of Presbyterianism. This window cost £27, about 2 weeks' income for the church and almost 6 weeks' salary for the minister. 6 years later, this stained glass window was transferred and installed into the tower of the new church building. A date was decided for the official constitution and establishment of this new Presbyterian church. St. Patrick's Day, Saturday, 17th of March, 1951, a mere 6 weeks after the lockout from Lasara's church hall. The fact that this date also shared the 102nd anniversary of the Battle of Crossgar passed without comment. In what would prove to be a template for the opening of many of the denomination's churches, the meeting started at 3 p.m. and was conducted by Reverend Ian Paisley. The Northern Whig described the meeting that afternoon as one that evoked scenes reminiscent of an old-time revival meeting. Killyleagh Street Hall was too small to hold all the supporters of the breakaway movement on Saturday, and many latecomers, they said, sat on forms outside listening to the service through loudspeakers. It commenced with the singing of the 23rd Psalm, followed by an opening prayer, and interspersed with the singing of a paraphrase and other hymns. The paraphrase, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord," yes, that comes in at paraphrase number 54, and a slightly altered version of it as one of our hymns. The church that day was duly constituted. William Emerson was then ordained as an elder, and together with Hugh James Adams, George Gibson, Cecil Harvey, William Miss Campbell and James Morrison was inducted as an elder of the Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. The Reverend George Steers, a missionary and ordained minister of the Presbyterian Church in South America, was then inducted as minister in a temporary capacity. So with all formalities completed, Reverend Paisley launched into the inaugural address to the first congregation in the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. Reviewing the reasons for the secession in Crossgar, he accused the Irish Presbyterian Church of having betrayed the faith of our fathers in abandoning evangelical Protestantism, in tolerating apostates of the ilk of Ernest Davy, and in opting for ecclesiastical dictatorship over the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pronouncing Ichabod over the Irish Presbyterian Church, Mr. Paisley spoke of a spiritual awakening he expected to see in Ulster, and he outlined the role this new free Presbyterian denomination would have in that. "We are going back to the old standard to preach the old gospel," he declared. And as he spoke, he was constantly interrupted by cries of hallelujah, amen, and praise the Lord. He said, just as the Free Church of Scotland grew in strength till it was almost as big as the church it left, so I believe that this church, with the blessing of God, will go forward till all Ulster rings with its teaching. None present on this occasion could have anticipated how prophetic those words would prove to be in the decades to come. In that year, under the leadership of Mr. Paisley, four new congregations joined together to form the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. From this point, the growth of the new church continued until its witness spread to all parts of Northern Ireland and, in time, much further afield.